Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6. What we're going to do is actually the theme of this particular section of Scripture is right in verse 25. But what we're going to do is read that verse, and I ask you to keep your Bibles open before you because we're going to work through verses 25 through verse 34 to sort of flesh out the idea that Jesus is advancing here for us in our lives. So I ask you to keep your Bibles open. We'll just dig right in here. First of all, let's read verse 25. This is the main idea, the main point Jesus the preacher is seeking to get across to us, stated right up front. Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" Then we'll look at that. We'll develop that now. I ask you to keep your Bibles open before you. This is God's Word. The grass withers, the flower fades, the Word of our God endures forever. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that your Son and our Savior addresses an issue that every single person in this room has to deal with in their lives, a problem. Lord, we thank you there is a solution to that problem, and ultimately the solution is in Christ. Lord, we pray that you will be pleased now to open up your Word to us as we look into your Word to discover what you have to say to us today. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Springtime, summertime is a time for warm days, hot days, humid days, bright sunny days, and a time to be mugged by an unwanted street gang we call the allergies. You're familiar with that street gang. You know their names. There's pollen, dust, wasp sting, bug sting, and, of course, poison ivy. For some people like me, all you have to do is mention the two words poison ivy, and I begin to itch. This morning, what we're going to consider is some very powerful emotional poison ivy in our lives. And what I'm talking about is the fierce itch of anxiety, worry. Everybody in this room worries about something. Everybody in this room in some area of their life has this fierce itch of anxiety. That's why it's a good thing for us to be here this morning and to go into the clinic of Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34, where we meet, of all people, Jesus, the great physician. And in this text, what Jesus does, praise God, is that he gives us a prescription for worry and anxiety. Now, before we work our way through these verses, you need to know that just like poison ivy affects whatever poison ivy touches, worry, anxiety can touch any number of areas in your life. The poison ivy of anxiety can touch your family life, your work, your politics, your health, your future. The list of poison ivy prospects goes on and on, world without end. Amen, amen. In this text, however, Jesus is focusing specifically on one area of our lives where the poison ivy of worry and anxiety touches us, affects, infects us with the fierce itch of anxiety. And that is, Jesus is focusing here especially on anxiety, worry over material concerns in our lives. Did you notice that on verse 25? Do not be anxious about your life. Then he spells it out. What you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Now, notice Jesus begins with the word therefore. There's the late scholar, professor, wonderful public speaker, Howard Hendricks, once gave all of us a significant lesson in Bible interpretation. He says, whenever you see the word therefore in a text, always ask yourself the question, what's it there for? Now, what's it there for is this. He's linking what he has just said, Jesus is, to what he's about to say. Because in verse 24, Jesus warns us that money has the potential to be a rival God. the object of your trust, to call the shots in your life. Money has the potential to be the lens through which you view all of life. Think about it, just in politics. It's not follow the leader. It's not follow the law. You don't see what's going on in politics? Follow the money. Jesus says, don't let money become the focus of your life. Don't let it become your master. You can only serve one master. And that master is not mammon. In the King James, mammon refers to money and the things that money can buy. So, therefore, Jesus is saying, one way you know you've been infected by the poison ivy of money idolatry, whether you have a little or a lot, the way you know you're dealing with this idolatry is that you're experiencing the fierce itch of anxiety over money and the things money can buy. In other words, pretty much anxiety over anything material in your life. Friends, please hear this. Because Jesus is concerned about our anxiety, Jesus commands us this morning, do not worry about financial concerns. Do not worry about material concerns, because our great physician, he gives us life. He knows us inside and out. And what he does here, this is a command, by the way. Do not be anxious. It's an imperative. He commands us, don't worry about, notice, what you eat, what you'll drink, about your body, what you'll put on. Don't worry about those things. Now, before we dive into the rest of these verses, word of qualification. If you read the Bible, if you read the New Testament, Jesus is not forbidding foresight. He's not forbidding careful, prudent financial planning. Jesus is not saying, hey, go ahead, crack your IRA nest egg, cancel your insurance policies, drain your savings dry. No, the message from the Bible and from the Lord is that he wants you to be financially wise, prudent, careful about how you manage what God has given you, because you are a manager of whatever it is God gives you, including the money in your pocket, in your bank account. But what Jesus is doing is this. He's talking about those times in your life, and they are many, where material concerns begin creeping their way into our lives to the point where our conversations become littered with money and what money buys, the way a football stadium is littered after a game. Jesus is talking about those times when we go to sleep, instead of counting sheep, we're counting our financial problems. We're worrying about the bills that we owe. And what in the world is going to happen to me? This 100% cotton paycheck that I have, it seems to just shrink every time in the washes of tax and inflation. Christ is talking about those times when financial problems, material concerns, follow us around like our shadow on a bright, sunny day. Friends, the great physician's diagnosis is strong. It's blunt. At this particular point in time, there is no bedside manner. What he's saying is this, the anxiety you're feeling over your stuff is wrong. It is not a lowercase, little, acceptable sin that nice middle-class Christians just happen to fall into. I want you to understand the bluntness of this. A little anxiety is no more of an acceptable sin than is a little adultery, a little grand theft, and a little murder. See, Jesus has a heart full of concern for your well-being, and he puts it very bluntly. Because I care about you, do not worry. Then Jesus gives us five reasons why you need not worry over material things. Remember, this is focusing on material things, on money, but it applies more broadly also. Five reasons. First reason is this. We ought not to worry because worry is unnecessary. Unnecessary. Look at verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather in the barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Our assistant pastor John Duke and myself both attended Reformed Theological Seminary I've got my doctorate from Reformed Seminary. John will be getting his doctorate from Reformed Seminary, Lord willing. And it goes by the initials RTS, Reformed Theological Seminary. Well, in this verse, Jesus is enrolling you into a seminary. It's called NTS, Nature Theological Seminary. NTS is God's idea. You know, it's a great institution. NTS has top-notch professors, Dr. Robin, Professor Bluebird, Mr. Blackbird. And Jesus says, notice, look at the birds of the air. Now, that word, look, pay careful attention, because that look is not a hurried glance like speeding by a mile marker on USI 20. When Jesus says look, he means to slow down, stop, pay careful attention, pore over these lessons from these bird professors the way you would study your class notes before a final exam that makes up 50% of your final grade in a course. In other words, Jesus says, be an ornithologist. Take lessons from the birds. And notice what he says here. You know, let me paraphrase. Have you ever seen a bird driving a John Deere tractor plowing a field? You ever seen a bird with a bag of seed sowing a field? You ever seen a bird on a combine harvesting a field? What you notice about birds is that they're totally dependent upon heaven's welfare, and yet their pantry is always full. God provides for the needs of these winged creatures. And then what Jesus does, notice now, notice right there on the last phrase, he takes a spoonful of the point and he says, open wide. If God created the birds, if God provides for those birds you see outside your window every morning, how much more will God provide for us? See, what Jesus is doing, he's arguing from the lesser to the greater. As you hear the birds singing outside today, if you would listen, you can pick up their song. Here it is. Hey, if God takes care of us, you know God's going to take care of you. Think about it. We birds, we're not created in God's image. Jesus didn't die on Calvary's cross to save us birds from our sin. So please, don't insult your value by worrying about God's provision for you. Friends, the God who gives the birds of the field and trees heavenly care packages every day is your gracious heavenly Father through faith in Christ. He assigns great value to you. And the reason we know that is because he sent his Son to die for you. And since God values you, Jesus says, he promises he's going to provide for you. And please hear, for that reason, your worry is not necessary. Notice in the second place, second reason why not to worry is this. We ought not to worry because not only is worry unnecessary, but worry is useless. It's useless. Look at verse 27. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his lifespan or to his span of life? The word being used there is a cubit. 18 inches, 1.5 feet. And what you have, I think it's presented a little better in the NIV. It's a picture of our lifespan as a journey. And the idea is this. God has put enough gas in your tank to take you to a certain point down the road. And when you arrive at that point of your life's journey, the gas tank is going to register empty. Your journey is over. And friends, when we reach the end of life's journey, all the worry in the world is not going to give you 18 more inches of driving room. Not at all. NIV, as I said, worry will not add 1 hour to your lifespan. Now, please understand, we cannot extend the duration of our lives, but we can do a lot, hear this, a lot, to improve the quality of our lives. The quantity is in God's hand. You're going to live as long as He wants you to, but you can do a whole lot to improve the quality of your life. You can eat right, not eat so much, exercise, avoid unhealthy stuff, have good relationships, improve your emotional health, but you cannot live any longer than God has determined that you will live. So ask yourself the question. Be honest this morning. When I take a long look back on my relatively short life and compare it to eternity, think about it, our life is a dot on eternity's timeline. Am I going to look back and say things like this? You know, money sure was tight, but worry pulled me through those tough times. Gee, I wish I had worried more than I did. I'm so glad I could get all my friends and family to gather around me and worry with me about making car payments and paying off that mortgage and being without insurance. How encouraging it was to hear those words, "Well, things don't look so good, so all we can do at this point is worry." Is that what you want to hear as you reflect back on your life? A life littered with the debris of worry? Friends, one of the most futile, useless activities, energy-wasting activities on the face of this planet is worry. Let me put it this way. Worry is as futile as trying to fly a kite in your living room. Worry is a useless exercise in futility. Worry is unnecessary. Second, worry is useless. Third reason why not to worry. We ought not to worry because worry is unbelief. Unbelief. Look at verse 28. "Why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you?" And look at this last phrase. "O you of little faith." Actually, now the great physician is taking out a scalpel and cutting beneath the surface to expose the core of our real problem about worry. Why are we so worried about clothes? Think about it. Does it bother you when your jeans are not American Eagle, Guess, or Lucky Brand? Are you concerned if your shirt doesn't have an alligator or polo rider or Nike swish or Columbia label? If your suit's not Hart Schaffner and Marks, Brooks Brothers, or Joseph A. Bank, does that bother you? If your shoes aren't New Balance or Reebok, Birkenstock, or Johnson & Murphy? Yes, it's nice to have cutting-edge stuff. But for so many people, think about it, for so many people, how many people do you know whose very identity is caught up in what they wear? So we worry about our apparel. Jesus said, "You know, I've just asked you to be an ornithologist. Now let's be a horticulturalist. Let's look at the plants growing out on the field alongside the highways. Tell me, when was the last time you saw Mama Lily sitting down with her sewing machine and Singer sewing pattern number 34 making a dress for daughter Lily?" Yet notice in verse 29, when King Solomon was decked out with his Sabbath day finest, Solomon was never better dressed than those lilies of the field. Think about that next time you're going down I-20, Highway 471, those wildflowers growing alongside the field. They're wearing designer clothing. They have a brand name. Even if you can't see it, the brand name reads Heavenly Father Apparel Company. And they're clothed well. I want you to see verse 30 for what it is. It's a slap on the wrist. Again, arguing from the lesser to the greater. I want you to understand what Jesus is saying. Look at verse 30, last phrase. Worriers are people with little faith. Let me say it again. Worriers are people, they're little faith people. Worry is basically not believing that God sees, that God knows, that God cares, that God is more than able to take care of you and feed and clothe you. Friends, do you believe the God who provides is actively in control of your life or not? That's the question. And to the extent in which you worry about material things, to that extent, you are displaying little faith in God. Worry is unnecessary. It's useless. It's unbelief. Now, the great physician might as well be a dentist here, because he's about to drill down and hit a nerve. Notice fourth, we ought not to worry because, okay, it's unnecessary, it's useless, it's unbelief. Wow, this hits. We ought not to worry because worry is unchristian. Look at verse 31 and 32. Therefore, do not be anxious. Another command saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? With what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things. In the NIV, it's pagans, Gentiles, people who do not worship and serve the living and true God. New Testament slang for unbelievers. See, a pagan is not someone who worships idols and bows down to the moon and sacrifices to frogs. A pagan is someone who thinks life is all about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, and what you're going to wear. Now, eavesdrop on the conversations with unbelievers. What are we obsessed with? What we eat, what we drink, what we wear. Listen to folks who don't know Jesus in a saving way. Well, their conversations focused on, C.S. Lewis put it well. He said there are two kinds of materialists in the world. The first kind is those who say, matter is all there is. What you see, what you hear, what you taste, touch, feel. That's all there is. There's nothing beyond that. There's no invisible realm. That's one kind of materialist. Matter is all there is. But the other kind is this. It's matter is all that matters. It's all that matters. And I ask you, what is your conversations about? Are you caught up in anxious concern about material things? Is your life running after material things? Are you worried about material things? And you may be a Christian, but at that point in time, when you're worried about material things, you're not acting like what you are. You see, don't we love to blast? You don't hear this term much anymore, but it's still true. It's called secular humanist. Yeah, they're bad. You know what they believe, though? Get behind the rhetoric. Secular humanists believe if there is a God, this God is remote. He's not interested. He really doesn't care. Now, when we worry, what are we saying? God is remote. He's distant. He's not concerned about what I eat and drink and wear. So would you fall under the category of practicing secular humanist claiming to be a Christian? I can't answer that question for you, but you need to answer it. Now, Jesus does tell you to run after something. He does. He wants you to passionately pursue something. He wants you to pursue and pour all your worry energy into two things. And those two things are in verse 33. Go after, seek, be aggressive about two things. The kingdom of God and His righteousness. And He said, notice, all those things, those other things, will be added to you. How concerned are you this morning about the kingdom of God? Are you concerned today about the best way to showcase the fact that God rules your life? Are you showcasing His rule in your family, your community, your church, your place of work, your school, with your peer group? Kingdom of God. Notice also, are you concerned about His righteousness? What do we mean by that? I'll refer you, jot this down if you're taking notes, to Philippians 3:9. Are you concerned about Philippians 3:9? Let me quote it to you. Being found in Christ, not having a legalistic righteousness that comes from keeping the law, because we can't do that, but a righteousness that comes from God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. How worried are you about having Christ's righteousness through faith in Him and not trying to achieve your own? And then how worried are you about your profession of faith matching up with your practice of faith? I know one lags behind the other, but how far is it lagging today? Beloved, if we took the energy and the time we channel into worry and channel all that energy into the kingdom of God and His righteousness, it would be unreal the impact Lakeland Presbyterian Church could have in this community, in this nation, this world. Jesus says, seek, care about what I care about. God's kingdom, His righteousness. And you know what? All this other stuff, God's going to take care of you. One other reason why Jesus commands us not to worry. Worry is unnecessary. It's useless. It's unbelief. It's practical atheism. It's unchristian. Fifth reason we ought not to worry is this. We ought not to worry because worry is unhealthy. It's unhealthy. Look at verse 34. Do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Worry is physically unhealthy for you. Best definition of worry I've ever come across runs something like this. Worry is today's mouse eating tomorrow's cheese. I ask you, what cheese is your worry mouse feeding on these days? What's eating at you? Are you worried about how your kids are going to turn out? Are you worried about your health? Are you worried about being attacked somewhere, sometime by someone? Are you worried about the economy, if you'll have enough money to live on in the future? A lot of us are approaching retirement. We wonder if we have enough to live on. When you think about tomorrow, are you looking into the crystal ball of worry? I want you to understand what that is. Worry is a welcome mat inviting the unwanted visitor of stress into your life. Worry brings stress. Stress is a killer. Why invite worry into your life? Notice what he says. Don't be anxious about tomorrow. It's going to take care of itself. This may be the one time in the Bible where you read that procrastination is a good course of action. Friends, why waste your time and your energy worrying about something that hasn't even happened? Did you know that 80% of the things you worry about haven't even happened? You are just guzzling down tomorrow's cheese. Don't drag tomorrow's troubles into today. Deal with tomorrow's troubles tomorrow. I want to wrap this up with two simple strategies. Two strategies for dealing with worry. I want to leave this as practical as possible. First strategy is this. Consider. When it's the end of the month, and your checkbook balance looks like the scoreboard before the game begins, go for a walk. Look and listen to what your Heavenly Father's trying to tell you in nature. Remind yourself, this God provides all this food and all this beauty. This God has provided for my salvation through faith in Christ. This God's going to provide what I need. Why worry? Second, simple strategy, consider. Second, concentrate. There are only two things in life worth worrying about. Jesus gives them to you. God's kingdom and His righteousness. Only thing you need to worry about this morning, first of all, am I in God's kingdom? Do I have the righteousness that comes through faith in Christ? Am I pursuing a life of practical righteousness? Nothing else matters. That's what Jesus is saying in verse 33. Nothing else matters. Consider, concentrate. That is the great physician's prescription for the fierce itch-producing poison ivy of anxiety. You're going to leave the prescription on the shelf, or you're going to take it down and rub it in. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the assurances in these verses. We thank you that we are valued and cared for by a Heavenly Father who loves us so much he sent his Son to live and die for us. Lord, we are sure the duration of life is divinely determined, and we are to live in demonstration of dependence upon you. Lord, we don't need the life that you've given us to be diminished one bit by worry. Lord, we thank you for the assurance that Christians are people of faith who don't fret about identity found in clothes and cuisine, but people who want to be identified as your children. Lord, we thank you that the kingdom of God and his righteousness is worth being worried about. Lord, we thank you that we can make a choice not to drag tomorrow's problems into today. Lord, please help us consider what you are telling us, to concentrate on your kingdom and your righteousness, your provision of grace. Lord, help us not to invite stress into our lives. We don't need it. We don't want it. You'd rather us not invite it in. Lord, help us to consider and concentrate. Help us to take this prescription. For we ask these things in Jesus' name, amen.